Today on Real Radio.
What an awesome picture that is of our God. That's who he is. Why would you reject him? You say, well, I'm not rejecting him. Are you letting him into your life all the way? Are you a Christian on Sunday, but not so on Monday? You're rejecting him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. We've already explored the first two commandments, which deal with having no other gods, whether physical or imagined, before the true Creator. Now we're taking a look at commandment number three, which says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now what exactly does that mean? Well, it does go far beyond uttering it as a swear word, as our teacher demonstrates. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We need to be very, very wise in understanding a lot of our actions we've inherited from how we were brought up. It doesn't make us guilt free from that because we've done the same things now. We need to repent of those things. We need to ask God to forgive us of those things. But understand this, how we speak, how we live, the environment that you and I create causes those around us to either grow up peaceable or filled with anxiety. Loving or hating, having a propensity to do good or to do evil. This is a very important thing. The wonderful and the awesome thing now is that we're in the family of God and all that changes. Are there struggles? Yes. Do you fight those things? Yes, but thank God there's a fight now in us to go against those things. There's a strange thing going on in the world around us right now when we talk about his name, that it can be a curse. People make it a curse word. And there's just a strange thing going on in the, I don't know what you call it, the altered Christian culture that we're going through right now. A lot of young people today think that they can be a Christian and cuss, that it's cool, that somehow it's going to cause people to come to Christ if you're a Christian and you cuss. That's insane. That's nothing but a beguiled attitude thinking that, well, I don't have to change. I can accept Christ and still be the same person. I can do this and I can do pot. I can do sex and put a Jesus label on it and I'm cool now. And a lot of young people are being told that in pulpits that I think have been sold out and compromised. And I want you to know right now that the Bible tells us that we need to have our speech seasoned with God's grace and seasoned with salt. God will honor that. Young people, tonight, listen, God will honor your life if tonight you say, you know what? I'm going to hang up the words of the world and I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to let my words build people up. Any bonehead can cuss. Okay? But God changes that. And of course, we all know that out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says the mouth speaks. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is necessary or what is good for necessary edification. When you speak, build people up that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't you love that? Look, you were sealed with the day of redemption. That word sealed is amazing. You guys know what the word embossed means? To be embossed, stamped. If I were to take this ring and put wax on your head and push the ring into the soft wax, that would have an insignia on your forehead, and it would mean that you are owned. This is you are a bought, purchased possession, and you're under the ownership of someone. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption. Isn't that great? You're owned. You walk around and you're owned by God. God has got his stamp on you. You belong to the living God. And that you don't have the opportunity, the right, or the liberty to open your mouth and have your bowling words come out of your mouth because it's not edifying. Well, you know what? I'm walking with Jesus, but you know, those are my golfing words. No, listen, Jesus is on the golf course too. Okay, you can't have it two ways. The Bible says, don't do that. The next thing we see is that it matters how we take up his name in this world. The second thing is this, his name can be rejected. We all know this. His name can be rejected. And when we talk about his name, we're talking about the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D of God, the Yahweh or Yah. That's his name of God. That's who he is. That is him, his name and nature. Yah, the Bible says, is the God of the Bible. Did you know that? I hope you know that. That is awesome. You better know that as a church here. Yah is his name. I pride myself. I was talking back in, as I said, in New York last weekend, and one of the points in the message was the fact that we, of all people on the planet, we don't call our God God. He is God. That's who he is, but he has a name. The Lord, Yah, is our God. That's his name. He has a name. And that's an awesome thing. Who is your God? Yah is my God. Yahweh is the Lord, my God. That is the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that great name can be rejected. The Bible says in Psalm 68:4, sing to God. Listen, you're going to have an opportunity soon to sing to God again tonight. And I know for some people, I don't get it, to be honest with you. Starting to really get in the flesh about it, I think. Either I'm getting in the flesh about it or I'm really getting in the spirit about it. But a lot of people think that music, the worship of God, is something that you can either come late in on or as soon as it starts, get out early on. And I want you to understand something. God is the one right now, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is using the gift of teaching right now to speak his truth into our lives from the Word of God. Then listen, that's what he's giving. And then in a moment, we're going to go back into worship again. And it's our, the believer's opportunity to give back to him. And listen, God blesses us with sunshine. God blesses us with this weather today. I mean, today, I got to tell you, today it feels like Hawaii outside today. He blesses us with that. Did you stop and thank him for it? Did you eat today? You know, maybe I'm getting older. Maybe I just sense the end of the age. I don't know what it is, but have you been to Vons or Ralph's lately? The grocery store and walked to the produce aisle? I did that last night. You know, we gotta take a field trip. We gotta just shut the service down right now and go on over to Vons. Can you imagine? And you walk. We have bananas, and then we've got the little pygmy bananas, or what are those little bananas? How many kinds of tomatoes do you want? How many kinds of apples do you want? You want a Valencia orange or a navel orange or some? Or you want a Florida orange or a California orange? You want nuts? Oh, we've got nuts in California. Hey, it's everywhere. We are so blessed. And just like this, I don't get it. Listen, God blesses us, and then it comes time to worship him, and we go, I'm slipping out. Think about that for a minute. That's a sense of rejecting him. The believers to worship him. The Bible says there in Psalm 68, we're to sing to God. It says that we're to sing praises to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. Oh, man. Why do I say oh, man? Because coming back from New York into Santa Ana, John Wayne Airport, we're over the Midwest, and we were at 41,000 feet, getting the snot shaken out of us. We were hanging up, oh, the plane's going everywhere. Why? Because there were mountains of clouds above us. And the guy's just going like this through these canyons of clouds. You could look down, and I was just going, God, thank you. And it's so great being a Christian because people think they're going to die. And you're on there, and you're just like this. People are hanging on, and they're going like this and stuff, you know. It's amazing. He rides on the clouds. What an awesome picture that is of our God. That's who he is. Why would you reject him? You say, well, I'm not rejecting him. Are you letting him into your life all the way? Are you a Christian on Sunday, but not so on Monday? You're rejecting him. This is serious stuff. He is Yah. He's our God. He's the Savior. An example of rejecting him is that word, you shall not reject. exercise, use his name in vain. That word vain means to make a lie out of something. That's what that word means. You shall not take his name in vain. You shall not take his name and make it a lie. That word means to abuse. It means to make void or useless. Think about the damage that causes. Listen, church, you and I tonight, honestly, let's be very honest. The gospel message, if people believed it, there's not a church in the world that could house people in one community. This place, there should be, how many people live here? 70, 80,000 people? There should be, we should have an 80,000 seat church. You want to know why? It's the greatest news in the universe. Why aren't people coming in here? You know why? Because of us. I don't mean you. I'm just saying us in a collective sense. The world out there, many, not all, many of them don't want anything to do with God because they have seen a poor Christian witness, a poor Christian example. And that's a sad thing. Why? Because we often have sometimes painted a picture that our God is not worthy of all of us. That our God is not worthy of our moment-by-moment praise and adoration and relationship. And so the people look at us in the world and they say, man, their God's not even real. I mean, look at them. More on that later, but this is serious stuff. We can take his name in vain and cause it to be where his name no longer has an effect. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1, this is powerful stuff. It's yet future, by the way. Psalm 2, 1 says, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Against the Lord, that's Yahweh, and against his anointed, that's the Messiah, Jesus, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away, the word means to take in vain, their cords from us. But look at verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall hold them in derision. This is the events leading up to the great second coming of Christ. Matthew 7, chapter 20. Matthew 7, 20 says, therefore by their fruits, Jesus said, you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, wait, pause right there, keep the verse on the screen. How many of us say, Lord, Lord? We say, Lord. This is not a trick question. Do you call Jesus Lord? Raise your hand. Some of you are still terrified. It's not a trick question. Is Jesus Lord? Raise your hand if you think he's Lord. You're so timid. What is that? Okay, watch. Watch now. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who does then? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, it's not what you say. It's what you say and what you do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, how can that possibly be true? Because they called him Lord. Look, some of them even did miracles in his name. It's not that they had power, church. Listen, are you guys with me? Listen, it's not that they had power. They knew that power was connected to his name. You ever seen people on TV that are probably shysters? Not all of them, but some of them? Huh? And they're swinging their coats around and they're going, hey! And people are bowling over and falling over. And, you know, God can do anything, right? He can use an Armani suit. God can do anything. I just happen to think that probably, maybe most of the time, God's working in the shadows. He loves that. But we need to be very, very careful because Jesus is talking about people who cast out demons. When's the last time you cast out a demon? You say, well, if that's the criteria, then I guess I'm going to go to hell. That's not the criteria, thank God Almighty. The criteria is, do you call him Lord, Lord, and do the things of the Father? Do you do the will of the Father? Which, by the way, is, it's very simple. What is the will of the Father? The Bible says to believe on him whom God has sent. How cool is that? You can do that. I had a little kid come up to me this week on the beach in New Jersey. His mom brought him up, or he brought his mom up. I don't know which one it was. He's 5 years old. And she wanted me to sign his Bible because he accepted the Lord, listening to the radio program. And it was the cutest thing in the world. Had a lot of those moments. And it was just the cutest thing in the world. And this little guy, he had his Bible. And he's like this. And he's standing there, little 5 years old, just coming up there. so proud to have a Bible, so happy to know Jesus. It's the coolest thing. Listen, God wants us like that. Jesus said, unless we become like a little child, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. A little kid, they're so precious. You know, we get older, we get cynical. I doubt it. I doubt that. I doubt it. A little kid never goes, I doubt it. Give me a little five-year-old, I doubt it. You tell a little five-year-old, hey, I just saw a moose jump over the Empire State Building. And they go, wow. Because in their minds, right? Because in their minds, they can see that. A moose, was he? What color was he? That's what they'll ask you. Jesus said, be like that. See, when we're cynical, we go, yeah, well, that's how you get messed up. Gullible, dumb little kid. No. Sensitive, tender, full of faith little kid. The third thing is this. It matters how we take up his name. The third way, this way, is that his name can be, thank God, honored. His name can be honored. When we take up his name, we are carrying his name, and as believers, we are to honor his name. Now listen to this. Deuteronomy 6:13 is a verse that is rarely understood or read. It holds tremendous responsibility for all of us who are Christians. Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. What's it say? And shall take oaths in his name. You say, wait a minute. Are you sure that's the right spelling of that? Listen to this. The word oath here in Hebrew means, watch, to say what you're saying regarding God's presence in your life. The word oath means seven times. You say seven times. The word carries with it that you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take seven times the oath in his name. What does that mean? That you say, for example, I love God. I love God. Now watch. I love God. I love God. I love God, I love God, I love God. You say, why the repeating? Because listen, the more you say something, the more you are entrenched in it for both good and bad. Right? When we say something. Didn't Pharaoh, 10 times Pharaoh said, I will not let God's people go. By the way, every 10 times Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let him go. And guess what? 10 times God said, I'm going to harden his heart. Do you think there's a correlation in that? 100%. Interesting. When God says, according to this, you make your oaths and you make them to me, the word means you say it to him seven times. I would think that by the time you say it seven times, you mean it. It's like tomorrow being our anniversary, I'm going to say, I love you, 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 I love you. Right? And you better mean it. His name can be honored. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Listen, will you mark that verse down, everybody? It's Proverbs 18:10. You want to know why? Don't ask me the details. I don't know. But I'm telling you, maybe you agree, whatever's coming to the world or America or California, I don't know what it is, but something's coming. I can feel it in my bones. Is it good, bad, or ugly? I don't know. And technically, I shouldn't care. I'm to trust God. You see that verse? I think we better memorize that verse. You want to know why? I think we ought to memorize it saying it seven times. You want to know why? Because that is going to be our ticket out. What do you mean ticket out? What? Ticket where? What? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right now on the news shelves, the news stands, there is a magazine, and it's Time Magazine, and it's Disasters in Pictures. And you ought to check it out. They'd put the fear of God in you. From Katrina to tsunamis to earthquakes to volcanoes to sinkholes, the strangest things are going on in the world right now. And the Bible tells us that when the mountains are removed and the earth opens up and the raging sea is foaming, God will be faithful. Listen, everybody, listen. Wake up and hear this. Don't think for a moment. If persecution breaks out against the church, if you and I have to die for our faith in Jesus Christ, don't think that he's abandoned you. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, you're joking, right? Because the rapture's going to come. The rapture could come tonight, but what if it doesn't come for 10 more years? At the way evil's going, in 10 years from now, we could be at the end of a blade of someone. You say, well, God's not going to let that happen, would he? Listen, I hope not, but it happens to all the other brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. My point to you is this: what are you afraid of? Our God is a strong tower. Yeah, but I don't want to die. Well, how are you going to get to heaven? Huh? How are you going to get there? Yes, if the rapture happens, praise the Lord. I mean, I really pray that it happens tonight. But if it doesn't, we've got to get ready to die, man. So what does that mean? What do you know? Listen, we could slip on a banana peel off of our property, out on the city's property, not here, and you could die. You could go somewhere else, not here on this property, and choke on something. You could die. It happens. Are you ready to meet the Lord? You can honor him by believing in him. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, and my strength and my redeemer." Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely," listen, everyone, "whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Meditate. Say it over and over again, like seven times, an oath to God. And we need to be thinking like this now more than ever. We need to start speaking grace in words seasoned with salt one toward another. So we honor his name only if, church, we are saying and doing, or saying and living, a life that brings him honor. You cannot be calling yourself a Christian and your life is no different than those of the world. What in the world is that? Jesus didn't die for that. Some of you need to hear this. Sex with someone else outside of marriage, and you're calling yourself a Christian, and you're living like that. The Bible says you've been deceived. Do you understand that? Galatians chapter 6, it says that you've been deceived by your sin, and the truth's not in you. Well, I'm a Christian. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I'm a Christian, and I'm living with my secretary, or I'm living with my neighbor's wife, and I don't care what you say, we love each other and God wants us happy. You're deceived. Well, I have a Bible. So does Satan, I'm sure. He has a library, I'm sure. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you and I to live a life that is absolutely just like the world, but only in title, only in name, are we a Christian. Maybe it's our t-shirt that tells the world we're a Christian, but our lifestyle doesn't. Jesus said in the end, I have never known you. A person who is truly possessed by the Holy Spirit longs to live closer to Jesus. Tonight, I don't know, I hope it's all of you, but tonight, right now, tonight, you can know down deep inside in your heart right now, do you have a burning desire to get closer to Jesus? And frankly, the part that you can't stand about you is that either you can't get out of bed soon enough, or you stay focused when you're praying, and that's your struggle. You want to get closer, but you know, your eyes get tired reading the Bible. Those are your struggles. That's awesome. But you can't say that you want to get close to Jesus and you're living a life of pot or sex or drugs, rock and roll thingy, whatever wild, crazy life, and say, well, I'm a Christian. And you're just slapping a label off a godless lifestyle. You can't do that.
Pastor Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that examines the third of the Ten Commandments, which deals with taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which examines all Ten Commandments as found in Exodus and Deuteronomy. It's been a real informative and interesting series so far, don't you think? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online and listen to today's edition of Real Radio, as well as past programs. You can also subscribe to podcasts of Real Radio while you're at our website. Just visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. RealRadioactive.org. It's real easy. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.